She's being the devil.
Just for you, Meg.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm ready.
I put on my devil costume just for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
This is my favorite outfit now. I'm always looking for opportunities to wear it.
We're trying to send you some warmer thoughts because you're like in the middle of
winter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you?
I live in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We actually winter started really late, but it's cold now.
And what's cold for you?
Well, 20, but it's going to be in the negatives soon. But I'm actually going to Arizona later this week, so I will be warm soon.
Wow.
Good. Well, good for the warmer weather. Unless you like the negative degrees. Do you like the negative degrees?
Not that cold, no. No, that's too extreme.
Well, I think we must have been on the same link. By the way, welcome to the Sex and Horror Podcast, everyone. We're just like, la, la, la. Dicey's wearing a devil's costume, and I have on an upside-down pentagram earring and a regular star earring. Oh, nice. So I'm both good and evil, so I'm balancing
here. I love it. And I have aliens, so perfect. I don't know what that means, but...
Alien. So you, what is that? 529 in it? What is that? Was that the number for the alien with the government?
Something like that.
Area 51?
Maybe that's
what I'm saying. Okay. Yes. 51.
I think you're getting mixed up 420 and Area 51.
Actually, I think I was the 529 is the account for kids, their education fund. I think I'm in the investment space in my head, and I got the wrong one. Are you all into Area 51 stuff?
What's that?
Are you into the Area 51?
Oh, yeah. I'm with the X-Files came out when I was in high school. And so that was a really big thing for me. So I love, I have even a little alien on my desk here. I do love alien stuff. I've never been to Area 51, though.
I can't imagine whenever you get blanketed with snow if you just don't freak yourself the fuck out, right? Thinking of all the stuff that could happen, because it must be so, you're married, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have other living things in your home besides yourself, living people, living items or whatever.
Yes.
But, men, we can call them items. But anyway, I'm assuming male, but who knows? But still, I would imagine being in the middle of so much deep snow and winter that it's kind of it's actually the perfect concoction, mixture, whatever, to be a horror writer.
Yeah. I mean, think of how many great horror stories, horror movies take place in cold weather. It's a great way to kind of trap people somewhere. Yeah. They can't get out. So it's a great device that I have used myself as a writer. And the snow can be really scary. And there's something really eerie when you go outside and there was just a big snowfall. It's nighttime. It's so quiet. It's a very eerie thing that I know people who experience snow know what I'm talking about.
Wow. It sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mess up your last name, guys, but this is Meg. And she's going to tell you her last name.
This is Meg Hofdahl. Yes.
There we go.
That's me.
She actually used to be here in Houston with us.
Yes. So I am still good friends with Fern, and I used to, I have 6 books published by Inklings Publishing down in Houston. So Houston's like a second home to me. I like to come down and do selling events and do Comic Palooza. Is that what it's called? The big one?
I believe this, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been on some panels together in the past.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to. I haven't been in a couple of years, but I would
like to come
back. Yeah.
Yeah, our thing now, we are Houston Horror Film Fest junkies. That's what we do.
Okay, awesome. What do you all do at the film fest? Do you do your podcast from there, sign books, that kind of thing?
Both. Cool. Well, when they first started, how long has it been, Dicey? Like 4 years, 5 years now? 4 years?
Yeah, even before the pandemic, they had started. Yeah. That's right.
And we started off just doing the podcast and being, actually the very first year, we were the only media for like the first day or two. And then they added a few people towards the end. But we've just been promoting it and promoting it. And just, we love it so much. It's grown to over like 10K people.
When is the festival? What
part? It's in August, I believe, right? Okay.
August. Mm-hmm. In August, it might be 9th through 11th this time in 2024. Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to check
yeah.
that out.
Oh yeah, man, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if they're sold out or not, but if they're not, this would be great for you. Or if they are sold out, they have other hot spots throughout the year. So, like we did one in October. I think it was October. Yeah, at the end of October. And then they had another event in December. Some of the smaller pop-up markets. So, and then obviously, as soon as they put it out for next year, you can jump on it for 2025 now that you know about it.
If I can remember, because I'm an old bitch now. But if I can remember after this, I'll add you to the vendor's Facebook. It's great.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Well, I'll bug you if you don't remember.
Yes, that's good.
You absolutely have to do that, Meg. Yeah.
And I get what you're saying about being old because I have a big birthday this week.
Uh-oh.
I'm turning the 40 this week.
Oh, my God.
40. That's it.
Oh, my God. Okay, I just turned the big 50.
Well, that's awesome. Good for you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to you, girl. You're still a baby.
It's so real because people that are younger than me or around my age are dying. So not to bring mood down, but somebody just yesterday was 42. So so every year is a year to celebrate
another cycle around. This bitch is tough as nails, so she can live in Minnesota with her.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
It's 40 years different in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So, okay, I don't want to get you too off subject. We'll come back and talk about your books, of course. We're going to talk about that the whole time. But sure. I noticed you got a lot of new ink going on. What's happening? I see you're getting tatted up.
I am. You know, I'm actually, it's funny you say that. I'm wearing the shirt for my tattoo guy that I go to, but it's Duluth, Minnesota. But yeah, I you know, I didn't start getting tattoos until I was 30, which I'm kind of glad about because I think I would have done something really stupid personally if I had got it when I was super young. Yeah. So I'm really glad I waited. And, you know, they're kind of like, it's like a potato chip. Once you have one, you just kind of keep wanting to get, right? Yes.
It's got to be like a horror author staple. Like, you know, it just kind of goes hand in hand, like milk and cereal, like peanut butter and jelly.
Are you still there, sweetie?
Is she on us? Is she frozen for you too?
There she is.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay.
Yeah. No, but yeah, we were definitely saying tattoos are something you can't stop once you start. I got like 5 last year.
Yeah. It's like, but I think as we get older and we have like, we just know more who we are and like what, we just know what we want on our body. And I just think, I feel like it's such a sign of like, growing into your maturity and confidence to like, you know, have tattoos and sort of be like, this is my life, this is where I've been. I love the idea of them. So I'm addicted, I guess.
Well, if you come to Houston Horror Film Fest, be prepared because we get a tattoo there too.
I've not done that, but Chantel and Jay and some of the other authors do. But
yeah, awesome. I got a Chucky tattoo last year, and I got the guy who played the kid in the original, who's still in the series, but I think he just recently maybe got killed off. I don't know. It's so confusing.
I feel like that was like a dream sequence or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, he signed it. So I had his name tattooed on.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so cool. That's real. I'm a huge
maybe fan. I'll do the Nun this year. Cause the Nun is coming.
Oh yeah.
I saw Bonnie at Texas Frightmare last year, so it'd be good to see her again.
Yeah. Very good.
And this last movie was so awesome. I mean, we loved it.
Absolutely loved.
So like, how much, I'm all like imagining you're in the middle of a farm. Like, I think you're in a Stephen King novel, right? There's no other houses around you. It's just a blanket of snow.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I mean, I am in a neighborhood. So, you know, I'm not too far away from people. But with snow, it can feel like you are.
I can imagine. How often do you get to the theater? Did you go see The Nun at the theater?
Oh, you know, I don't think I saw The Nun at the theater. You know, I feel bad because I feel like I love seeing a horror movie, particularly in the theater. It's such a...
That Minnesota weather.
With people.
I can hear you, but I can't see you. There you are. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a really neat experience to watch horror together. So when I get the chance, I really do love to go see horror. But I feel like the last like month or two, I haven't, maybe it was the holidays or something, but I feel like I haven't got to the theater. So I need to get, I know there's a new Blumhouse that came out, Night Swim, which I haven't seen yet. But
oh, I haven't either. Which one is that one? Did you see it, Dicey?
I haven't seen it yet because when I was, during my time when I was supposed to be going to the movies, it wasn't out yet. So I went to see Aquaman instead. And then I took the kids, I had to take them to see Migration. So now that it's out, that is definitely next on my list. I want to see Night Swim. Yeah. The title looks great.
Yeah.
I have to go check it out. Like, I need to do a movie. I feel like it's been, it has been months and months and months for me. So.
Yeah. Matt, your last name, are you German?
Actually it's my husband's last name and it's actually Norwegian.
That's
so
climate too, right?
Yes, yeah. So yeah, my husband is like he's Norwegian, Swedish, and Finnish.
So does he know the Skarsgård? That's all we care about.
I know.
That's Swedish.
I know. If only. Wouldn't that be nice? But you know, if I ever bumped into one of them, wouldn't that be nice? I will say, hey, my husband, he's Swedish kind of, and then we'll have something to talk about.
Dude, if I bumped into them, I would just like keep bumping. Like, I don't know why. I kept bumping in.
Why do we keep rolling and falling into each other and then rolling?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why are your hands grabbing me? I'm trying to catch my balance.
I swear.
You got to climb them like a tree.
They are super tall.
That would be definitely for sure.
Oh my gosh. Well, you are, I think maybe you're slightly shorter than me. We're in the short club, right?
Yeah, I'm 5'1", so...
Oh, yeah, you're a couple inches shorter.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't mind it. I don't mind being short. And also, like, as far as men, like, all men seem tall to me. Like, there are very few men shorter than me, so... Doesn't bother me.
Anybody ever tell you you remind them of Evan Rachel Wood?
No, but I'll take it.
yeah. Right now, I'm getting that. The haircut and the color. It's giving what she looked like, I think, when she was in True Blood. You know, didn't she have her hair? I could be wrong, but.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. That's the vibe.
You're the devil. You're not wrong.
No, never.
So, take us through what you're doing right now. What's your projects looking like? What's happening with the Meg universe?
So, I have a lot of, I'm kind of in that, like, hurry up and wait part of writing where I have a novel. This is my first agented novel, and it's out on submission right now. So, that means that it's waiting to hear if anybody wants to make a deal. That's very nerve-wracking because I check my email like constantly because I want to, you know, I want the deal to come in. And who knows, you know, a lot of people, when they sub a novel the first time, no one picks it up, or it takes a year, or it takes however long. So I don't know. I'm kind of waiting on that. That's a novel about a woman who is fixated on serial killers, and she herself tried to kill someone when she was a child, and now she's sort of like reformed, but that part of her is kind of still there, and she ends up bumping into a serial killer. So you can imagine what ensues. And then I have a travel book coming out later this year. I'm really, really excited about that. My best friend and I, we went all over the United States. We went to 12 different cities, and we went to all the places a goth girl would want to go. So we went cemetery tours. We went to, like, you know, the bars, the speakeasies that have, like, the gothicness. We went to haunted hotels. We went everywhere that, you know, sells gothic place. We went and got a tattoo when we were in Florida, like all sorts of different things. So that's compiled in our book Travels of Terror, which is coming out from Source Books. And then also have a book coming out in our science. We have a whole series of books called the Science of Horror series. And we have the Science of Alfred Hitchcock is coming out later this year as well. So lots of fun. Good stuff. Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm on my travel kick right now. I what brought me joy for a good number of years was going and moshing in the mosh pit at metal shows. And that wasn't doing it for me anymore. So now I'm traveling all over the world, you know, internationally. So I can't wait to pick up a copy of your travel book, your trip.
Oh, great.
And Dicey's such a great ghost hunter.
Are you?
There she goes again.
Let me tell you, she was by herself in this haunted ass jail cell, taking video of herself. The light was flashing. It wasn't doing that the whole time until she was in there by herself. And she's just like, look, la, 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 looking at herself. And I'm like, have you looked back at your footage to see if anything happened? And she's like, no. I'm like, you're supposed to. Well, nothing showed up. I'm like, just rewatch it. You could hear a male voice her video going, wow. Like that. Because she was looking at herself like, oh, I'm so beautiful.
I was talking to the spirits in there is what I was trying to do, but I didn't hear anything with my ears anyway.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. We had a great time. But yeah, she's great at ghost hunting. Getting footage, just not realizing she got it.
You know, maybe that's good. Because I feel like if you knew in that moment that, like, someone was talking to you, like, you could have, like, shit your pants or something. Yeah. You know? Like, maybe it's good that in retrospect you saw that you were being haunted.
If I'd have seen somebody, like, hearing something, meh, whatever. If I'd have seen something, like, that would have done it for me.
Yeah.
So we had a spirit box, too. This was at Lavaca County Jail. We went with the spiritual medium, Trina, her team. And Roy, I think, was his name? Roy, the paranormal investigator?
I don't recall. I mean, it's Katrina Cooper, so she has...
Yeah. But so we used a spirit box, too. So we were communicating back and forth with something, some entities or something that was there. And that didn't bother me as much. But if I'd have seen something, like what they show, like what's going on in The Nun 2, for instance, and that I would have lost it. Yeah, that would have been
Bye.
It.
Well, I mean, but okay, look, it. On my 50th birthday, I stayed the night at the venue. And my bed, I woke up in the middle of the night, my headboard was hitting the wall, and I was asleep. My husband was asleep, and there was a train going by. So I thought, okay, but let me tell you, when I woke up the next day after he got out of bed, I remembered it had happened because when he got up, it hit the wall. So I tried to shake my legs. I tried to like move my body, and it wouldn't move.
Oh my
God. Not until I moved my entire weight. So no, it wasn't the train.
Oh. Yeah. That's scary.
Do you have any stories like that? Do you have any real life horror or weird stories? Creepy?
Yeah. Well, so I have personally, I don't believe I've ever seen a ghost. But when we started to do this travel book, we were staying in purportedly haunted places like every night. And we write about this in the book, or my friend Kelly did, because this was more, this is really her experience. Mm-hmm. And we stayed at this place out in, right outside of Portland, Oregon. And it used to be what was called a poor farm. And then after that, it was a mental hospital. And now it's a hotel. And so it was, of course, like many haunted stories. And we went to sleep that night, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. And I woke up the next morning and I could tell she was upset. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, like she wanted to get out of there. And she had also at this point had never seen a ghost or anything in her life. And she said, last night I had fallen asleep and she was like watching something on her phone. She was watching Saturday Night Live on her phone and she wasn't asleep or anything like that. And she put it down and she said, there was a man in our room going through my suitcase.
Oh.
So she's like, oh my God, like she's terrified, right? Like, how did this guy get in? So she goes to turn to me to be like, there's a guy in our room. And she hears him run, but then he just disappears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she like didn't sleep a wink that night. I don't know why she didn't wake me up. I said, next time wake me up when there's a ghost in our room.
She's just like,
she didn't wake me up.
She's like, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah. And so, but what's even creepier is, so then she was like, I kind of wanted to like stay and look around. She's like, no, we're going to the airport. Like, I want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, I'm like, okay, fine, fair. So on the way out, we bought a book, a little pamphlet type book about the place. And in there, she found that there was a male ghost on that floor wearing a flannel shirt, which is what he was wearing, who goes into people's rooms. Like, I have chills right now talking about it.
Wow.
And that just made it even worse for her. And she was very upset. And so we have not experienced anything since then, really. I did when I was in Florida. I kind of thought I heard something, but compared to that, I haven't experienced anything. But, you know, she was kind of like me, a little skeptical. But after seeing that, I think it definitely like
changed. Like, that shit was real.
Yeah, she's like, that was like, I saw that with my own eyes. And people ask me if I noticed anything different with my suitcase, because he was going through my suitcase. And I said no, but then Kelly said my suitcase is always a mess, so I wouldn't know. But
maybe he was trying to organize it for you, girl.
Maybe he was a nice ghost.
That's what I was saying. Maybe the ghosts on my birthday night were like, wake up, why aren't y'all getting busy? Because like my husband passed out, his ass was drunk.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
I was a little tipsy. I'm like, I'm tired. They were like, wake the fuck up. What's wrong with y'all two?
Now, which one would have freaked you out more if you'd have seen the ghost or if you'd looked up and there was an alien in your room?
Oh, good question. I feel like an alien can actually like hurt you more. Like, I feel like a ghost.
That makes sense.
I don't know if there's proof of like a ghost hurting anybody, you know? I mean, I'm sure you could argue, but I feel like an alien might actually like take me up to their spaceship and like cut me open or something. So that's, I feel like they're a little more malicious actually, maybe, than a ghost. But it depends. I guess it depends on the ghost.
Yeah.
It depends.
I've seen
some, makes sense
too. I watch those ghost shows all the time, and I like watching the one with the Osbournes with Jack.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Isn't that his name, Jack, the kid, the son? Mm-hmm. And so I love watching his stuff because he's halfway skeptical. So he does one with the Ghost Brothers, he does one with his parents, and then he does his own show. I watch all the stuff. Yeah. And so he had footage once from a place in Mexico City, and there was like drills turning on that weren't plugged in.
Oh my God.
And you could see the cords. There was like stuff being like in the middle of the night being yanked down and pushed across the room. Like, and at one point, and again, I don't know, but there was a woman, and she was kind of youngish, like a teenager, and she walked into the room, and she bent down, she was picking some stuff up, and then something literally grabbed her by the leg and was pulling her, and she, like, got up and it grabbed her again, and she got up and ran. It was really creepy. Oh, so I was like, okay, Mexico.
You know, for me, I'm not a religious person, so I've always felt like ghosts kind of like go in that idea of like having an afterlife, right? And to me, there's sort of like that religious like connection. But when I sort of think of it more as like energy and like maybe someone that like left their energy is still there. I mean, because how many times have you like walked into a room and you've like felt energy, right? Like of it being like, you know, just an awkward or bad thing. So like I feel like that makes more sense to me. Like if maybe a ghost left their energy behind or something. I kind of like that idea. It's still very scary.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't freak me out. No. Obviously, I was like the bed shaking, and then I just rolled over to sleep. I was real concerned.
Yeah. So what I was going to say, I'm not sure. I think I heard my child outside the door, so I'm not going to say it.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. I already know what she's going to say, but now if they can hear me, I can't say it either.
This is like that someone's outside my door or not. So, but if you all who listen on a regular basis, you know where my mind went with that.
They know you now.
They do.
They can fill in the blanks.
Yes. Speaking of blanks, did you watch Saltburn?
Yes.
I was looking for a way to bring up Saltburn. I did.
I don't know what made me think of that with that word, but hey.
It was wild. Yeah. You know, a lot of people I saw. Okay. So my friend had seen it. She liked it. She's a huge fan of Emerald Fennell, who did A Promising Young Woman as well, which is a great film. And she loved it. She's like, you got to see it. And then I kept seeing people on TikTok be like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like them reacting to the movie. And I was like, well, what is going on? I have to see like what. So I was almost like kind of let down because I'm like, I was waiting to be like, just like something was going to happen that was so disgusting or so like out of this world. So like that was in my mind. So then when the things that happened that were kind of uncomfortable, I was like, oh, is this it? Is this it? Ah, this isn't that bad.
This is the life of a horror writer. You said it right there, girl. When he started getting it on with the grave, I'm like, yes, you go there.
I was impressed that they went there. Yeah.
And
except the bath water. That was like,
I could see. She's a tiny bit of a germaphobe, that one over there.
The germs and the fluid, germs. Like, no.
I was like, it was a really good. Yeah, I thought it was a good way to show like his mindset, you know, like, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. But I also had that knee-jerk reaction of like, ooh, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, it was really surprising. So yeah, I enjoyed that movie. I thought it did a really good job of like kind of making us not really sure who we want to win or who we want to root for. If this guy is like really, you know, I didn't realize like how out there he was obviously until later. Right. He seems like a very, you feel empathy for the guy in the beginning and stuff. So
of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we spoiled the hell out of it on our last show. It's fine.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure. He was a total wackadoo job guy. Like he was not at all a normal human, and he just, that was his game, right? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to to destroy those people.
Yeah, I mean,
just because he could.
And like, which, also that kind of idea of like he gets the house in the end, and like, and it's like when I don't know anybody's name, but when the guy he's in love with, Jacob Elordi, or is he in love with, I don't know, but when he's kind of going around showing him the house, and he's so sort of like blasé about it. He's just like, oh, this is the whatever room. And he's like so privileged that he doesn't even realize like you live in this enormous mansion. And so sort of the juxtaposition of that and then him dancing at the end and like him actually like sort of appreciating the house when nobody else did maybe is kind of weird. Ooh. Because again, he's the bad guy. But yeah, I really like those juxtapositions. I thought it was really well done.
Oh, Holly. Out of that, yeah, that's a good angle. Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me is it wasn't until the main guy, Oliver, until he started really acting bad, that's when I started finding him sexy. Like any other time, like this guy's he's not attracted to me at all. Like Jacob or Lordy is who I'm looking at, right? But
yeah.
When he started really acting up, then that's when I was like, oh, okay. But what's funny is the actor now making his rounds on the Golden Globe and all out here on the red carpet, he is hot. Like, how did I miss that?
Yeah, in the beginning? I know, right?
I mean, all it is a haircut that's different, right? But his whole style, his swag and everything is like really, really hot.
And they may have done something with the makeup and stuff to make him look a little less, you know, appealing, to make him look a little unsavory, you know,
a little more like dorky in the beginning. And
yeah, like something like he's like nervous, sweaty, weirdo guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. He was like starting to kind of be like a badass, like when he starts kind of getting with the sister and stuff. And then I was like, oh,
you're
cute. I agree. I was kind of like, oh, okay, I can see it now. Like, yeah, I was looking at the other guy too before that, but yeah, it's interesting what a good actor he is, that like we can ride that sort of way of watching him, because you do feel so many different things as you're watching it.
That's right. I agree with that.
That's one of the good things about it.
Who would play the main character in your story?
In my story?
Yeah. Like if you were casting your newest horror book that's coming out.
Oh.
Who would play the main people?
That's a good question. Well, I'm thinking about my novel right now.
Okay.
And
I love casting, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, I think that's a really good question, because in the past, like I talked about being small, so I've always written about kind of like being like my main characters are often very small, but in this guy, yeah, like him, but like this novel that I have, I was like I'm gonna write from the perspective of a tall person. Challenge myself. And so it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, we've seen like casting and it doesn't really matter from book to movie if they're tall or short or whatever, but that's a good question. I don't know. Here's the problem. When I was like in my 20s, I knew every actor. I knew every movie that was coming out. I knew everything. And now I'm like, who? And I can't remember anybody's name, which is like the mom curse. Is like, for some reason, I watch a movie and then their name goes right through me. I'm also only watching, since this Alfred Hitchcock book is coming out later this year, I've literally been watching so much Alfred Hitchcock. Like when you ask me that, I'm like, Jimmy Stewart. I don't know, but that's a great question. I gotta think on that. I'm a huge Gillian Anderson fan, but she's a little bit older than the character in my book, but I would love to write a book about her and then she can star in it.
So you don't have someone in your mind while you're going through the writing process. You're not visualizing a particular person.
No, I don't do that usually. sometimes maybe I do. But no, I actually don't do that. I don't.
Dicey does. Let me tell you, girl.
Yeah.
She'll pick somebody and she'll get their shirt off if she can, a photo of, and whatever else she can find bare on them. She'll have all those pictures lined up.
It helps me to stay in the visuals, you know?
No, that's really smart, actually, because, yeah, that's actually really smart. I don't do that, and I should. So who was the guy?
I mean, what, you don't have to, but I just wondered if you did.
Yeah, I feel like, wait, why haven't I been doing this? I mean, just like in everybody, I've written fan fiction in my life. So when I've written fan fiction, I've like thought about, you know, obviously, but yeah. So who was the guy that inspired you last in your last book then, Dicey?
And for me?
Yeah.
I think it was a Spanish actor, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
Sometimes she'll shoot me photos.
Oh. Yeah.
That book isn't done yet, though. That's the one. That's for the current book. I have 5 different projects going on right now at the same time, and this is the first time I've did that. But I've done that. But I've got some things going on in here. But the Spanish guy that I sent you was Juan Guillero, who played in Millennials. He is for my Argentina story. It was for Argentina. Ooh. But yeah, I
Google him.
Juan Manuel Galera.
Oh, okay.
But cool. That particular story is not out yet. I will tell you that for the very last novel that I released, I don't want to say who.
But you had him in your mind.
Yeah, it was a particular. It was a rock star that I'd rather not say.
Fair enough.
I will say, because I tell this one all the time, for my Best Friend's Fantasy Lovers books, I had Tommy, that character, I imagined Robert Sheehan, who played in Misfits. I have a poster over here of the Misfits cast. But, so you can't see in here, but I have posters all in here. So I'm big into imagining my characters. And so I look up for inspiration all the time when I'm writing. But that Robert Sheehan was an Irishman that I patterned that character behind.
That's so
not
cool.
Not just his character Nathan, but him as an actor himself. But I don't mind saying that name.
Not me. I try. I'll get an idea from someone, but mostly I'm just getting like the and I try not to describe intently. Well, I've been writing 2 books right now. I started writing one that is kind of like about a cult. And then I'm writing the volume 2 for my last book that I wrote, Shades of Evil.
Muse?
Well, I mean, I find muses in different things and people. She's being the devil.
Yeah.
That's okay if you don't want to say. I get it. I understand.
No, I did. I did have a very large, bigger than life artist that I was like very inspired when I wrote this first novel. And I really thought his art was amazing. He had a very gothy look to him. And then, of course, I've been filling my mind and soul with so much, what do you call that stuff? Religious horror? Like possession and all these things. And so it just naturally came about the way it did. But yeah, girl, that was a really scary, yucky thing. No, I'm writing part 2.
The things we put ourselves through.
I know, right? But then, like, I wrote a short story for, do you know who Lisa Vasquez is? From Stitch Smile?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a short for her. Dicey was just in one of her newest releases. I gave it to her, and then her editor sent me the little edits I needed to do. And she's like, here's your really disgusting story. It was great though. And I'm like, she thought it was gross? That's weird. And so I'm rewriting and editing. I'm like, oh, I did cut that off. Oh, I did stick that in his mouth. Oh, wow. Yeah. I see why she thinks it's gross now.
But yeah, but that's our everyday. So sometimes it is and the best part is when you do meet people who are totally on the same level as you. And so, but it is also nice to have editors go, maybe that's a bit much. But it's nice to find people who also, they like the gory like you do. And, that's fun too.
We have met this last year at Texas Author Convention. We met some very huge splatterpunk authors, and that was a genre I was totally unaware of and didn't even know existed until this last year.
That's getting big for sure.
Mm-hmm. What's your subgenre of horror? What do you write under mostly?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think I'm pretty gothic. I don't even know if that's I guess that's kind of it's its own thing, but it's also a subgenre. I'm really female driven. So a lot of my stories usually are contemporary. Well, actually, I write a lot of historical stories too. I don't know. I guess I'm all over the place. But yeah, I don't do a lot of religious horror, just because that would require a lot of research.
I'm about to have to read the Bible. Trust me.
Yeah. but yeah, I guess, you know, I love monsters. I love serial killers. I kind of go all over the place. I would say my novel, which is serial killer-y, I also have like a supernatural element in it. So I do like to have supernatural, you know, an element usually. But I like to experiment for sure.
I love it. Yeah. She kind of, you do great creature horror. I've read some of your creature horror. It's really great. Yeah. I remember when I read some of your stuff years ago, I was like, dang, this girl can write. I mean, I can't wait to see what she's going to come up with. Like, you're very imaginative.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
Well, so when you're up there thinking you're going Jack Nicholson and The Shining with all the snow, just remember some of us appreciate you're crazy.
Thank
what
you.
What story should I start with?
Oh, gosh. So I wrote a book of short stories called Twisted Reveries, and that has some of my more popular stories, like The Pit is a really popular story I wrote, Willoughby, and then I have a whole novel series that takes place in a fictional little town called Willoughby, which is a creature, supernatural, all sorts of things, has romance, that starts with Her Dark Inheritance, which is the first novel. So that's kind of the first things that I would recommend. There's some podcasts that have done audio versions of my stories, which I know is kind of a nice way to kind of figure out if you like somebody's writing, and it's so fun to listen to these talented people do it. So the Wicked Library has adapted some of my stories, so that's a great free way to listen to a story of mine.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Girl, I cannot wait to see your next one come out. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
And you still got the fun stuff, right? You still get to see the cover and like design all that.
Oh yeah, for sure. This process with the travel book's been really fun. It's our first time working with source books, and they brought on, it's illustrated, which we weren't sure, like for a travel book, you know, you kind of feel like it should be photography, but this illustrator, oh my gosh, like they brought on some illustrators to show us like, which one do you like? And we all agreed on who we thought. And like, they've been sending us their mock-ups, and they're just like, I can't draw a circle. So I'm always impressed when like somebody is like visually, talented like that. So yeah, we're thrilled with the illustrations for the book. It's gonna be really great.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely gonna have to let people know when it comes out. I'll put it on the podcast page.
Oh, thank you. I'd love that. I think it'll be a good like gift book. That's what I'm imagining. I'm like, this is gonna be a great book to like give as a gift to people who like.
And a lot of ladies. Yeah, a lot of ladies. Yeah. As we get older, we want to just go and do stuff like Dicey right now. She's kind of getting out and about.
Yes, that's awesome. Yes.
So I think that would be great. Yeah.
Did you go off a list? Like you had a pre-list of horror places that you wanted to check out that were well known for certain creepy things?
A little bit. We wanted to make sure that we like covered like the country, like East Coast, West Coast, in the middle. And we did, like, we would go and have ideas, like we would do research before we go. But like something we found is Uber drivers, like they know their shit, and they like are the people to ask. If that is the one thing I learned, is like ask your Lyft or your Uber or your cab driver. They always were like, oh, but have you heard about this place? And it's like some underground place that we'd never heard of. And so that is definitely, a travel tip I would give. So yeah, there were times where we would do research, but then also when we were there, like we would stumble across things and really meet interesting people and find new things that way. So it was a kind of organic experience as well too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, girl, I have to commend you because I would be freaked out if some Uber driver was like, yeah, you got to go check out this under. I'd be like, you're sending me to some weird snuff little like creepy filming place with sex trafficking. No, I'm not going. Yeah.
You know, there were a couple times where Kelly and I'm glad I was with my friend, but there were a couple times where we realized that we were in a part of town that we should not be in. And we quickly got out, but yeah, there were a couple times where we were like, oh, you know, us two Midwestern Minnesota ladies just walking around, not knowing what we're doing and looking very innocent. So yeah, there were a couple times. So we actually talk about that in the book, some safety tips and things like that, because we want our goth girls to be safe.
Right. Good. Is there going to be a part two internationally in another part of the world?
I hope so. We're working on that. We're coming up with ideas. We're going to have a meeting about that really soon. I think next week, actually. So, yeah, we're hoping to sort of expand. I would love to get paid to, like, go travel Europe. So let's go.
Yeah.
Go see the catacombs. That'd be awesome. Yes.
And there's a lot of haunted places over there. I mean, they have a long, long history. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be really cool. So I'm practicing French on Duolingo, so I'm ready.
I'm doing Spanish.
Yeah. My 16-year-old is on a 800 and some day streak on Duolingo in Spanish. And I'm like, I'm on day like 14 right now or something.
Let's keep it going. I'm like almost at 900 now, but my brother is at like 1300.
Wow. Oh my God, there's always somebody you'd like to be.
Right. We keep inspiring other people. Like, I didn't even know he was on, but when I started, I was like, wow. And then he became a suggested person to follow. So now, like, he keeps me going because I'm like, oh, no, there's no going to stop when I see somebody that far ahead. And when I my mother-in-law started because I was doing it, my husband started doing it, and my sister-in-law. So.
Oh, my God.
So y'all just need to have your next holiday session all in Espanol.
Yeah, because my daughter has been studying Spanish since she was in the sixth grade, I think. Six or seven. Wow. Like that. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we definitely should do that.
Yeah. That's cool. That's because like so often, like with our family and friends, sometimes we like create bad habits, like maybe drinking too much or eating too much or whatever. So I love that it's like a really good habit and you're all like getting smarter. I love it.
Because we could be arguing over politics or religion.
Right.
Exactly. Oh God, in these days, so much fodder for that.
Yes.
And it's just like we need a break. Let's just kill more people in movies and books.
There you go. But not dogs. I don't like dead dogs in horror movies.
Somebody had posted on Facebook, what would be worse to kill, a baby or a dog?
I was going by a movie, I would say dog.
Yeah, I was getting hate mail for killing a dog at the beginning of one of my short stories. And first, y'all realize it's horror.
Yes. and sometimes it has to happen. It has to, you know, it does. Yeah.
It's fiction. It ain't true.
It's fiction.
It's not true. But at the same time, I don't like seeing them die in the movie. But I can get over it.
I told the person on Facebook, look, let me just say this. Nobody gives a fuck about dogs because I see so many dogs all over the street wandering around like nobody knows that they're there. I'm like, so save a dog, kill a baby.
There you go. So you have the underdogs. There
yes. I'm like, kill all the babies.
If anybody's really concerned about dogs, come get the strays out of my neighborhood, please.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or keep your damn dog, people. They said that was so bad because of 2020. So many people got pets. And then when they started, like, you know, everybody was working from home. And then when they had to go back into the office, they're like, I can't do nothing, like, with this animal. So they, like, just, like, turn them loose and stuff.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That's
my salon, girl. All I have is fucking cocks everywhere. We keep getting roosters.
They're just appearing?
Yes, the recent one, we have a huge black rooster that attacks me. He jumps up and hits me with his damn feet. I'm like, well, look at.
That's you why better stop that shit. Let him go. It was like, no, you're too mean. You got to go. Oh
yes. We've called the city and everything. One of my clients that's came true. And she's on some sort of group, agricultural group locally. And I don't know if I said that right, but she called, like put a message out and somebody said they wanted him. So I'm like, come on, come get this fucking, I call him fucking Fred. I'm like, come get fucking Fred because I'm about to run over. And one day I thought I ran over him for real. I was like, oh shit. He had jumped up and hit my car with his
talons. Oh my God.
Look, I know people eat chicken, but do they eat roosters?
I mean, somebody's going to eat this fucker. Let me tell you.
Wow. He's mean.
Yeah. He's so mean.
Call up the local restaurants. I got a rooster. I bet he get gone like today.
Ooh, that's true.
In an hour, he'd be gone.
Who makes rooster? Well, probably anybody, and they'll call it chicken. I don't know. They say it's more gamey. That's all I know. The rooster's more gamey.
Now that I think about it, other than cock-a-doodle-doo, are they good for anything else other than eating, right?
Yeah, just eating. I mean, like a man.
Eggs, right? I mean, I'm asking because I really don't know.
Yeah, they fertilize the eggs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you need just one of them. And then you have, like,
all the I mean, people. No, I don't know. Do they actually have intercourse? How do chickens mate? How?
Yeah.
Of course. What came first, the chicken or the rooster?
The roosters are the males, right? And the chickens are the females, or the hens are the females.
Yes.
Okay, so they're basically useless. The men are useless. They just make a lot of noise and causing trouble, right?
Yes.
Wait, what are we talking about again?
Yeah, there's a couple in here somewhere.
Girl. I'm just saying. You don't have to buy batteries anymore, ladies. You can just plug that shit in and you ain't got to worry. It can charge, recharge. You can go do your business. It's there when you need it and it doesn't complain and leave dishes and all over the house.
You ain't got to deal with all the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how long have you been married?
We're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. So dang. I got married young.
20th.
Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you said you have kiddos?
Yep, we have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Oh, wow. So you're just a few years away from it being empty nesters. Are y'all going to stay in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so. We like to travel, but Minnesota's home. So, and my husband, you know, he works here. He loves, like, I can work from anywhere, but he loves his job. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Dicey. Are you there, Dicey?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I just got this message that said we could not connect to your selected camera, blah, blah, blah. Oh, boy.
Well, that's okay. I think we're right at the end anyway, right?
Yeah.
Matt, can you tell everybody where they can find your books and and whatever you got going on that you want to promote? Now's your chance.
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Meg Hafdahl. That's H-A-F-D-A-H-L. I know it's a little weird, that Norwegian last name. And then also meghafdahl.com. You can find my books on Amazon, pretty much everywhere. And I'm also on TikTok, Meg Loves Horror. And I'm pretty much everywhere. So I'm hard to not find. Oh, and I also have a podcast called Horror Rewind. Kelly and I just talk about horror movies. And we've got the travel book coming out, and I'd love to hear from horror fans.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that gives me an idea. Dicey, you and I should travel around and try to find all the sex dens.
There you go.
Since we're sex and horror.
There you go.
I said sex dens because for a minute there I was afraid you were going to say the haunted places. Like the sex dens sound much more exciting.
I know better. I mean, we'll probably see weird stains everywhere that are like being like hauntings.
Yeah, don't bring.
I'll take the black light and I'll be like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah, don't.
Oh, I'm such a dork. Anyway, thank you, Meg.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
All right, girl. Don't freeze out there.
All right, I'm waving. I know you can't see it right now. I'm waving. My camera just went on the fritz, but I'm waving goodbye.
You're just too evil, girl. You're hot and you're evil.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye, sweetie. Bye. Thank you so much.